SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was recorded and produced on the lands of the Dja-Dja-Wurrung, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, thanking them for their care of this country and extending respect to all First Nations people listening.
Just got to grab our buckets, which are out on the porch. We use these buckets that the bacon factory have used to make their honey ham, and they only use these plastic buckets once, and so then we clean them out, put our Yimby sticker on the lid, and then we're set to go.
Yimby's short for Yes in My Backyard, which is a neighbourhood composting scheme Michaela Beckley volunteers for.
Every week we record how many kilos of kitchen scraps that we have each collected before we put them into the compost pile. And that's just to keep a tally of how much we're keeping out of landfill. And we've just passed the 15,000 kilos of kitchen scraps with primarily 10 composters. You know, that's amazing.
It's easy to see that Yimby's kicking goals for the environment by reducing greenhouse emissions from landfill, and that's reason enough to volunteer. But what else is Michaela Beckley doing when she composts her neighbour's kitchen scraps? I'm Kyla Brettle, and this is Everything We Need, a climate podcast about making change in our lives for the better. With stories about people who are not just getting climate ready at home, but helping prepare their communities for climate impacts and rethinking what we all need to thrive now and into the future. Resilience is one of those words that gets bandied around whenever government agencies talk about how we're going to cope with the impacts of climate change. So it's this ability to absorb change, find workarounds and roll with the situation, and still keep our systems ticking along in a more or less recognisable way. It's everything that comes before breaking point, so before areas are under sea level or before rail infrastructure stops working because temperatures are too high. So what does a resilient community look like, and how can something like a composting scheme help us become more resilient?
Oh, do you do it by hand? Do you not go in the car?
No, we always walk or ride your bike. That's a really important part of our Yimby model, is that we want to be a really community-based alternative to the truck and bin system. It's great that we're trying to recycle more and use organic waste, but often that seems like it's just another big truck coming and collecting, you know, what are essentially resources from our community and taking them away. And if you're a composter, you know that they're absolutely gold.
Michaela and I are walking along the suburban streets of Castlemaine, a central Victorian town about an hour and a half drive north of Melbourne.
So we're just stopping at our first house. Wally lives here. I'm collecting a bucket of kitchen scraps, and then I leave him a nice clean bucket for the week ahead.
Each week, Michaela collects kitchen scraps from 17 of her neighbours.
Another family just gives me their bones because they didn't want to put it in their cold composting into Marion's beautiful garden. And, this is nice. Marion often cuts me a little article out of The Age. So she's given me a little article on artificial intelligence to read. And I'll just put her empty bucket there.
Michaela processes all these scraps in the backyard of her regular quarter-acre house block. I can see 2 1-metre square composting bays surrounded by buckets of green waste.
I've got coffee from the Dove, the cafe over the road, some leaves we all collected last Sunday at the Tewton Oval, and this is where we're going to start the pile today. This is one of my
compost that's just finishing off in there.
See, it's got a little blanket and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yumi uses a continuous hot composting method that can break down almost anything.
Citrus, onions, all the things that you're told. From today, I'll put this stuff in and it will get up to 55 degrees. That's important so that the compost is processed nice and fast. And we also need it to be at those temperatures to select for all the beneficial microbes that survive at above 55 degrees. So you can see that that's hot. You can see the steam coming off it and you can see that that's some of the food scraps from last week breaking down. There's a bit of like a finished compost should smell like old growth forest. It's like that earthy, beautiful smell.
Michaela's qualified as a food soil lab technician, so she's looked at this stuff under the microscope.
It essentially looks like a slightly muddy drop, and it is teeming with life. There's nematodes, amoebas, bacteria, fungi, rotifers. It's a thriving community in and of itself, and one that we can easily forget because we can't see it with our naked eye. We don't even know, let alone forget. And the thing that fascinates me the most is that we are nothing without healthy soil. You know, compost is amazing because it's introducing organic matter into the soil, which makes it retain moisture better, retain nutrients better. You cannot buy a compost that's so alive and active and has the whole soil food web thriving in there. Another composter, every second batch of compost, she texts all her contributors and says, come and grab it. I'm not quite at that stage. I still use all my compost, but that's very generous of her.
Yumi was started in 2020 by Joel Meadows and Lucy Young. Both of them live sustainably and have been involved in climate action for many years.
I've been with it since its inception.
I thought I really want to do a compost project.
We had a four-person meeting in this very house.
We were all actually thinking the same thing.
With a concept around getting food scraps out of landfill, super small scale, super local, super low carbon input, carbon output approach.
So it was like a 1 hour meeting where we just laid it out.
Backyard composting, but done at a particularly high level, linking people who want to compost with people who don't. That's, I think, what got me excited.
And I envisaged myself being the person on the bike going around collecting these buckets. I just thought this just makes sense on so many levels.
Yumi works by sharing high-level composting skills with lots of keen composters like Michaela and helping them to run micro-processing hubs at home. So not just keeping the knowledge limited to one or two people.
So most community composting initiatives are more centralised. There might be a community garden where all of the scraps are taken to and all the processing will happen there.
Each of Yumi's 13 composting hubs do things a little bit differently.
It can kind of look in each street how it needs to look to make it work with those people.
So it's like you're wanting the system to be small and stretchy to be able to fit whomever's going to play with it.
Yeah, it's not too prescriptive, whilst being prescriptive enough to know that we're going to meet our EPA guidelines.
At the moment, Yumi's too small to draw the attention of the Environmental Protection Authority or health regulators, but Joel and Lucy are not taking any chances.
We can't be responsible for having large piles of smelly food scraps accumulating anywhere. So they measure the temperature of their compost at least once a week. And if our composters are not getting up to temperature, we can give them a call and problem solve with them and go around there. Now, maybe there's too much nitrogen, too much carbon, or it's got too damp, or they haven't been well, so they need some help. So whatever help's needed, then we'll make that happen. So the monitoring is important and the supporting is important.
How many have we done so far? I've lost count.
So
when I say we.
You're carrying stuff too. We should have 2 more to go, so we've got 15.
The other important part of the YIMBY model is that each home composting hub connects between 10 and 20 households. Most composters find they have to build these relationships with their neighbours from scratch.
Households. I just signed Ray and Angie up just last week. So initially we go around to our neighbours and door knock and just see what they're doing, whether they're composting. We've found that one of the most important things is tell them very quickly that you're a neighbour, because they think you're trying to sell them something. And I think one of the challenges that we have is that there is possibly a bit of shame saying that you don't compost and that you're not doing it well. It's like we have to do it all. You know, we have to have a career, we have to have a family, we have to make sure we're doing everything right for the environment. And I guess the YIMBY models is like, let's not rely on us all individually to do everything. There will be someone near you that loves composting, that's willing to make the time to do it. And so why don't you spend your time doing something that you're driven to do and let them benefit from the resources that you can give them?
Yeah, I've heard the term being community or locally reliant as opposed to, you know, self-reliant.
Yeah, I think there's so much in that.
Relocalisation is about people reconnecting where they live and really doing what it is to serve life in place.
Relocalisation is one of the big ideas that underpin YIMBY. It's about communities having more control over their economies and being better equipped to look after their own essential goods and services. It's a counteraction to not just a problem of climate change and our increasing greenhouse emissions, but other side effects of a globalised economy.
Disconnection. Disconnection from each other, disconnection from the cycles of nature, our disconnection from where we live. People are often connected from, like in Castlemaine, often more connected 100 kilometres away in Melbourne in their offices, and also disconnected from ourselves, what it is that sustains us in life, and the impact that that has on our climate.
Albie, my dog's just running into the neighbour's lot. Sorry, he's deaf, so I have to yell.
What really triggered your interest in all of this?
Working as a nurse for so long, I just noticed that I'd always just come home and be like just drawn to go and look at what's been happening in the garden, what's growing, and there's lots of studies that confirm it, that we just feel better when we're outside and connected with what's living around us. So I'm having some time off from nursing and getting more into growing vegetables, preserving seeds and composting, and then just connecting in that how fundamental these skills are. Like, they're real life skills, like how to deal with your waste and see it as a resource that you're just actually recycling. Then you're feeding yourself and your neighbours, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing actually. Like, it's made me just look at the world differently.
I guess, yeah, like you were saying, it's a way that you can actually get to know who your neighbours are.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't leave the house now without saying hi to someone or getting away from someone that's YIMBY related. So we're at Susan's, who's one of my compost contributors. Just say hi.
Hello.
Hello. How are you going?
Do you want to come in? trying to do six things at once, and it's not a good idea.
Oh, so I'm Susan, and I always composted, but not very successfully. And when I moved here, there's not enough sun or room, and I had messy compost. And so when I heard of Yimby, I thought, oh, great.
What do you feel are the benefits for you being a donor of the compost?
I like to feel I'm contributing and influencing others. For instance, the woman next door, I told her about it, and now she's a Yimby person. And the connection with Michaela, and that was lovely too.
It must be kind of quite nice to say.
Oh, yes. I said to her one day, oh, I don't want to get COVID. Who'd look after me? She said, oh, I'll come round. And so I thought, oh, that's fabulous. I know I can call you now. And so that was really warming, yes.
To be a known entity within your community, that's a powerful thing to have. You know, this project sort of got up and running during COVID, and just situations like if someone didn't put out their bucket, I would text them and just say, you okay? And they'd be like, I've got COVID. So then instantly within my neighbourhood, I know someone that is sick and might need support, and I could just text and say, I'm going down the street, do you need anything? And another situation was in the floods, another composter texted all her contributors just to check that they were okay. That's what resilience is.
The resilience thing is a combination of skills, connected community, knowing where our food comes from, you know, and then better buildings and good infrastructure that catches water and catches energy and stuff like that. And just the psychological readying ourselves for things not to be as we've thought they were going to be and being okay about that. And when other people's truck and bin systems are not working because either the big multinationals have pulled out or we can't fuel the trucks anymore or the roads don't work and you can't drive a truck down a road without it breaking an axle on a pothole, at that point we go, great, we just need another however many composters across this area and we've got this.
Now I'm just doing the final weigh. So that's 46 kilos for this week. It's amazing how similar it is actually each week. Beautiful oak leaves. This is where we start making our compost lasagna. So it's about layering everything. So I've done a layer of Yimby. Putting some of this rainwater into my water. Microbes live in raindrops, so like, isn't that amazing? It's another way of getting diversity into your compost. They come down in the rain.
The sense of a disconnect is that society just really isn't set up for spending, you know, half a day or more each week volunteering.
That's true, and it's kind of sad. Everyone who's part of it knows how valuable it is, but it's still quite a struggle to get that time for many people because of the, you know, the demands that we have on our lives and our time.
And, you know, we've had some of our, like, wonderful composters say, with rising interest rates, I need to take on more work. I don't have time to devote to this.
We don't want people to burn out, but I find that now we're sort of big enough that someone else will be. I'm really into my compost at the moment, so like I'm happy to help you out and share that load. So that's what we want to happen, and I feel like we just are still working on how to make it okay to need help even amongst our composters.
it's not, you know, it's not all rosy, but it's real community, as in we're doing something together, it's meaningful, we like it, we like each other, you know, we're kind of working out how to make it work.
And I think I spent way too long listening to the messages I got about what is valuable and didn't spend enough time thinking about what I found valuable.
And it's also a nice thing. It's another tangible thing to do about the state of the environment too. It's nice to actually be, you know, physically doing something, not just worrying about it.
Yeah, it's an outlet.
Yeah.
In that way.
I'm inspired by the way Yimby offers an alternative to business as usual. A system that's locally focused, grounded in place, isn't dependent on fossil fuels, doesn't create waste, and is about us connecting and collaborating rather than competing. Systems that can work now and in the future. It's an approach to adaptation that's being taken up everywhere around Australia, not just in my little corner of central Victoria, but even by local councils in our bigger cities.
You're right, it's about systems change, and I think we have to recognise that it's all going to take a long time, that we're in a gigantic experiment. So try and just chip away with small adjustments and hope that we can build on them so that we change the system over time. I believe that it should be led from the ground up, not from the top down. I don't think Canberra has a role to tell a local community how they should adapt. I think it should be up to the community to make those decisions and anticipate the changes that are coming.
Suzanne Dunford is Manager of Sustainability and Resilience with Waverley Council, which is home to Sydney's Bondi Beach. So what adaptation projects are being led by communities in your local area? We'd love to hear about it. You can email us via audio@sbs.com.au. A big thank you to everyone who spoke with me for this story. Michaela Beckley, Lucy Young, Joel Meadows, Susan Smith and Suzanne Dunford. In the next episode, we go north of here to the regional city of Bendigo to meet members of the Karen Australian community and explore how adapting to the changing climate isn't the same for everyone. So make sure you're following Everything We Need on SBS Audio or wherever you get your podcasts. Everything We Need is written, recorded, edited and produced by me, Kyla Brettle, with Jane Curtis as story editor, on show notes and as consulting producer. All the music you heard was by Rob Law and production photography by Carmen Bunting. And brought to you with the support from SBS Audio, thank you Caroline Gates and Joel Supple. This show was initially produced by Endgame Media to support the Wararak Coalition to Regenerate Mount Alexander Shire. Thanks again for listening. I'm Kyla Brettle. See you next time.